Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning that is the basis of today's sermon is from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. My dear friends in Christ, here again, the Lord tells his followers a parable tied into the idea of planting and sowing and harvest. It's appropriate, I think, that Christ would use this idea of the harvest to describe what he will do at the end of the earth. I mean, harvest time always comes after a long season of growing and tending and caring for crops. Now, I told you this morning, I drove in from Madison before church, and it was fascinating to me. It was just a couple weeks ago that I had done the same drive. And as I looked at the crops as I was going by, the corn had gone from about this high to about that high in just a few weeks, right? Now imagine that a farmer decided, I'm going to reap my crop when it's this high. And we'll see what we get, right? I mean, what if he did that? Well, if there were any corn at all, it probably wouldn't be very good, right? But if he waits till the appropriate time, this high or higher probably, right? We still have a few more months here of harvest, or until harvest time, then he'll reap a harvest that's appropriate. That sweet, sweet corn that we love at the end of summer. That fruit, if you will, of the plant that comes to us for its intended purpose. You see, this is the way that it is with the Lord. Okay? At the end of time, once the entire season has come, he's going to take his harvest from the ground. It's true. I love this idea that God is going to come and take his harvest, which is you, from the ground itself, which is to bring you up out of your graves. But do you see how long he is waiting for this? I mean, the apostles rightly expected him to come back then, during their lifetimes. And then the people who would sit under the apostles' feet, the apostles' disciples, expected that as soon as John died, Christ would come back. And so it has been with each generation for at least 2,000 years. How much longer? But you see, in waiting to come, do you see his tender care? In allowing weeds to grow up among the wheat, do you see his care? No? Okay. Because I think, right, if we see weeds amidst the plants, we want to pull them out. We want to take them away because we don't want them to choke out the life that's growing. But our Lord lets this sit. Maybe he's not as good a farmer as we thought. Maybe. Now, like last week, where we discussed this idea, it's necessary when we talk about the different types of soils to kind of know how farmers would spread the seed. They would put their hand in the pouch on their side and broadcast it out, right? They didn't plant it like we do today. I think it would be good for us to understand something about today's parable. And to do that, forgive me for doing this, we're going to have to go to the Greek. But I promise you, it's only one word. And that word is translated in today's text as weeds, right? Or sometimes we've called them tares. You've heard that, right? But the word in Greek, and I won't even tell you what it is because it doesn't matter. I think a more appropriate translation for it is darnel. Anybody ever heard of darnel before? It's actually fairly common. It's often just called false wheat. That weed that grows, it is a weed, that weed that grows looks so much like wheat that only the most expert farmer can tell the difference. In fact, this caused so many problems for farmers. It hasn't even been until modern times that when the harvesters would go through that they could actually even separate the darnel from the wheat itself. Now, when God does this, right? When God is talking about this parable, we see that he's then talking about that which is good, because who wants to eat a weed, right? Unless dandelions are there. Dandelions are sometimes good on like a salad or something, but that's not what we're talking about this morning. Who wants to eat the wheat or the weed? No one. Who wants to eat the wheat? All people. And so we look at this, and God is saying, we are going to look at these two things, and they are outwardly identical and inwardly have different purposes altogether. Okay? We're not just talking about farming here. Remember, Jesus tells parables not to connect things in an earthly way to people. He tells you why he tells parables. It's to hide things from people who would purposefully be against God. It's not given to those with no faith to understand. It is given to you who have faith to understand his parables. He hides the truth of the kingdom in the parables. And so, we do praise God that Jesus has given to you the explanation. Did you hear it? Jesus says that he is the sower, that the field is the world. The true wheat seeds are Christians. The weeds are those who don't believe. The enemy is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. I mean, who would have gotten that from a first listen, right? The reality is that the God of the entire universe has spread the seeds of his kingdom over all of it. And he has gone even so far as to write his beloved law on the hearts of all mankind. He has put it in everyone, right? Every society across the face of the earth, everyone knows really the Ten Commandments. We may have different ways of obeying them, but we all have the Ten Commandments. That shows us that God intends that all people would be his children, right? Why would he put the law in the hearts of people that he does not love? But it is through our rebellion against God, both in the original sin that was committed by Adam and Eve, that original sin that's passed down to you even today, and the sins which you have committed since your conception. Through our rebellion, we are revealed not only to be bad seed, but to also be seed that will need the blood of the Son of God to nourish it and give it life. And so it is that the Father sent the Son to scatter the seeds of the sons of the kingdom. Now don't think by Jesus' language this morning that he is excluding women, okay? He's not. It's just that if you're a son in the kingdom, a child of the kingdom, but a son of the kingdom, that means that you're going to inherit the kingdom. You see, in Jesus' time, it was only sons or males who could inherit property. And it was only males who could pass that property down. So to be called a son of the kingdom is not necessarily to be called a male, but to be called as one who inherits the kingdom of God through the death of the Son, his death upon the cross. And so that is you, men and women here this morning. So, notice that the seeds are planted, the devil has come, and even in the midst of all the good seed, he plants this bad seed. He plants darnel that looks just like wheat. Now, what I'm about to say might scare you, and I actually would like it to do that. So, if you would, listen. The bad seed, the darnel, is among you. The devil has placed, even in the midst of this church, but all churches, weeds that look like wheat. They talk like wheat, they look like wheat, they smell like wheat, and they are otherwise indistinguishable from wheat until the time of the harvest. So that means that yes, there are even people in this church who have been planted here by the devil, and they do not believe in Christ. They are here in order that wheat might be pulled down with the weed, so that they would both be burned together in the fires of hell. Now, if that scares you, good. It should. The devil has planted traps all around you. He is like a roaring lion, prowling around, seeking whom he may devour. And he would like to devour you. So he is going to throw every trick in the book at you. He is even going to throw other people at you. Now, let me say, I do not know who these people are. I don't. And my guess is you don't either. And let me just encourage you, please do not look at the person next to you to try to figure that out. Okay? You see, I don't know your hearts. We, as the church, we've always taught these things. We've taught that there are weeds among the wheat. We've always taught that heresy, right? Teaching against God's word springs up only from within the church. It never comes from the outside. We've always taught that there are those who would lead you astray. We've always taught that the visible church, that is the church that you literally can see with your eyes, feel with your senses, that visible church is always going to be made up of both believers and unbelievers until Christ comes back. We've taught this. So please don't think that I'm being harsh or passing judgment on any specific person. I don't know what's in your hearts. I'm not given to do that. But as your pastor, I'm going to assume that all people who gather here belong to Christ, and so we are co-heirs with the kingdom. And I would like for you to assume that as well. See, to judge whether you or another person goes to hell or not, that's not my job. It's certainly not your job. And I personally, I'm not interested in that, in playing the role of God in judgment. I don't get to do that. Instead, and this is the great thing about being a pastor, I get to do what God's called me to do, which is that anytime sin is confessed with the mouth, I forgive the sin. If you confess your sins, I will forgive them. That's what I do. But if you're only confessing with your mouth and you don't believe in your heart, even though you may hear the words of forgiveness as you did this morning, you have hardened your heart against the goodness of God in Christ Jesus, and the forgiveness of sins is not for you. That actually used to be a long time ago part of our liturgy when we started introducing corporate confession and absolution in the church, right? I mean, you all know what the pastor says, right? Almighty God in his mercy has given his son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. Then we add this part. But if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, or I'm kind of paraphrasing here, if you have not been baptized by him, if you are not a child of the kingdom, there is no forgiveness for you in this place. Repent and be forgiven. Right? But as a child of mercy, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. You see the difference there, right? We're much nicer now. You see, if we harden our hearts, then you're going to follow in the footsteps of people like Pharaoh and King Saul. And if you do that, then you are indeed the weeds among the weeds. If you won't receive the forgiveness of sins, if you don't seek to leave your sinful life behind, if you will not follow after Jesus, both in the freedom from sin and the desire to not sin, if you're not going to believe in him as the only way to the Father, then you are the weeds. and you've been placed here by the devil himself. If this is you, you may not care as you hear the words of Jesus, even as you hear them explained this morning in the sermon. You might be sitting there comfortably numb in your pews. Or perhaps, maybe there's even one among us who is truly evil, who knows what they're doing, who's here because they don't want to do anything else but cause dissension among Christ's church. I'll admit, excuse me, I think those people are rare, but they do exist. If that's the case, this is not the place for you. So we talk about grace and mercy and forgiveness. We only talk about it in light of Christ Jesus. So if you are scared this morning, then maybe you're one of the weeds. I can tell you, you are not. If you're worried that you might be an evil one and sown inside of the church, I can tell you, you are not. You see, if you're worried that you might not be saved, and that's really what this is about, right? If you're worried that, say, you've committed the unforgivable sin, if you're worried that you struggle with the grace of God in Christ Jesus, I can assure you, you are His, and He is yours. Now, I'm not saying you're going to struggle with all of these things. I am saying it's going to be very likely that at some point in your life, you will. And maybe you already have. Okay? Maybe you were a child. Maybe you once doubted in God, but now your faith is strong and sure. Or maybe you're going to struggle with the idea that you're a weed and not the wheat in the future. Maybe you're struggling with that this morning. Maybe it's right now. Or maybe, by the grace of God, the hard struggle will never come. Praise be to God for that. But in any of those cases, I am here by the command of Christ to come alongside of you and to tell you, to assure you that you belong to Him and you will inherit the kingdom of heaven. You will. You see, remember, if you're struggling, that means there's something that you're struggling against, right? In a game of tug of war, if one team is able to pull it completely to the other side with no opposition, there was no team. I don't care if the people were there or not. They didn't do anything, right? But if there's a struggle between the two, if there's a struggle between faith and doubt, if there's a struggle between being Christ's and not, if there's a struggle between leaving sin behind and giving into it, then what's there? Jesus. Faith. The Holy Spirit, you have that. Do you see the patience of God in this? This is the problem with not having hair. God's patience lets the evil ones abide, even amidst the sons of God, for the sake of the sons of God. See, God allows evil to grow up among you, to grow with you, to look and to sound like you. God, in His patience, waits for the harvest because He wants all people to be saved. So that means it's not too late for anybody. If you are evil, if you are of the weeds, if your heart is hard, I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not too late for you. The angels haven't come yet. The reaping has not yet occurred. You can still be counted amongst the sons of God. Notice, you can't change yourself from weed to wheat, but God does it easily with a word. I forgive you. You are mine. So I would say, repent of your sins and be forgiven in the name of Christ. I will tell you, the time is coming that God is going to call for an end of the growth of His church, and the harvest will begin. I pray that it is even today. Come, Lord Jesus, right? That's the prayer of the church. Yet God in His patience has the day set out And not even Jesus in his humility on this earth would tell us when that was. And so we work as if we've got forever, and we work as if it's ending tomorrow. You see, that's the final judgment. The day that Christ is going to come back and divide the sheep and the goats. When we talk about judgment, I want you to remember this. Christ in judgment will give every person exactly what they ask for. It's true. If you plead the blood of Jesus, if you depend on his perfect life, his sacrificial death, his glorious resurrection for the benefit of your eternal salvation, then Christ is most assuredly going to give that to you. He loves to give you what you ask for. So ask for more Jesus. But if you insist on being judged by your own merit, if you reject Christ in his life, death, and resurrection, if you will not have him, if you want to continue on in your sin, then Christ is going to give you what you're asking for, which is hell. That's true. If you're one of the weeds, Christ is going to bundle you with all of the others and send you to the place that by your sin you have asked to be, which is to be burning in the fires of hell forever. Now you might think, who asks for that? But by our own self-justification, we do this every moment of every day. Ask for Jesus. If you don't want hell, if you want everlasting life, trust then in this patience of God. Because this life is going to be difficult. Even as you face those who would come up against you or come up against his church. Just as God long put up with the sins and idolatry of the Israelites, so too must you put up with those who would destroy themselves and the bride of Christ. The time is going to come when God's patience with sin is going to end, and he will separate out those who love him from those who do not. But you will persevere into the end. You are a son of God, a child of God, an heir of Christ's kingdom. You have been forgiven through Christ, covered and nurtured in his blood. And you will inherit the eternal life that is to come. And as Christ says, you will shine with the light of the Son who is Jesus Christ, the Son of righteousness, and you will shine forever in his kingdom. You are the wheat. You are Christ's. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.